We are talking about bitterness and jealousy, and we've talked about this before, but this is going to be maybe kind of just like a very different kind of inner healing. I don't know what you want to call it, but I was in the presence of the Lord. I've been in the presence of the Lord so much, it's so cool, but somewhere in the last few days, and I was asking the Lord some things. I was asking the Lord why I still get so critical about some of the things going on in the body of Christ, especially when I see other ministers who are just doing some things that aren't right, but I get too critical about it. And instead of wanting to see them blessed and wanting to see them, and so I went to the Lord was showing me these things, and I said, Lord, where is this coming from? Because I only want to walk in love. I only want to walk in blessing. I don't want to be against anybody. I know there's things that people are doing wrong, but God, you're God enough. You're going to fix it all. You're turning us all around. You're changing everything. And by the time this is done, there's going to come a powerful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing his love and his power. And so I said, so what is this thing? And let me tell you, the Bible says, ask without doubting and you will receive. If the reason some people hear from the Lord and get answers to things that are in their heart that they don't even know are in their heart. Here's where you want to be. You don't want to always be in a trial and then having God show you why. You want to get to a place where you actually spend time in the presence of God asking him to heal you and asking him to set you free and asking him to reveal any evil that the enemy's placed in your heart so that it can come out. Jesus Christ came to undo the works of the enemy. Bible says so. He came to undo the works of evil. He did it. He did his part. He finished it. Now, our part is to yield to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of every born-again believer for real and just say, Holy Spirit, would you cleanse me? Holy Spirit, would you check my heart? And if there be, David used to pray this, if there be any evil way in me, well, let me go ahead and give you the heads up. There is going to be some evil ways in you, okay? It's a fallen world. Depending on how much you really grew up in the things of God and how much your parents really understood the love of God and really walked in the power of God in love. And so if you really look around, come on, let's face it. This is not the crowd that's happened to for the most part, okay? And even those who have loved God, you know, I've loved God my children's whole life. But I still did some things wrong. And so I've had to repent and ask the God to fix that and heal that, and he does. So here's the deal. Spend some time asking the Lord to really heal your heart. Let him take you to the difficult places. Let him take you to the places you don't even remember. So when I was asking the Lord, I don't know that I just straight out asked. I was just spending time with God. I'm like, Lord, I feel like there's probably something still wrong in my heart about how critical, even if I don't say it, even if I'm pretty nice about it, I still know in my heart I don't feel like I really love some of these ministers who are doing things with the wrong spirit operating or who just aren't glorifying you or they're touching your glory. I know I discern correctly, but I don't know that after I discern correctly that my heart is right. And I didn't even say all that. Do you know with God, you could kind of think one little thought and he shows you everything. And then when you try to communicate that with people, that's how you know it's so spiritual. Because when you try to communicate what God is doing, it takes so much longer than what is really happening and how, boy, when God speaks to you in your spirit, he's so concise, isn't he? It's like you really know that you know what he's talking about really quickly. He gets right to the point. Have you ever noticed he doesn't even overly make it look pretty? So I'm like, Lord, if there be any evil thing in me, no. And I'm just praying. And the Lord says to me, do you know you have bitterness and jealousy in your heart still? And I'm like, well, Lord, have you seen all the teaching we've done on that? I didn't really say that because I already know he knows it. But you know how you kind of have these little thoughts. So if I was going to put it in words, because you don't really have to talk a lot with God either. He knows everything. You just kind of put your thoughts, connect it with his thoughts, and it happens. But I was like, Lord, we've talked about bitterness. We've talked about, now remember, all bitterness goes back to God. It's a root. In other words, you might be very jealous of the way your parents treat your brother or your sister. And it could cause you to be angry at them, even if it's deep down and hidden, and be bitter towards them. And I know we have teaching on bitterness, but some of these things are so powerful, it can't hurt to get it through a little deeper. I want you to see the Bible talks about bitterness is like a poison. Okay, bitterness is like a poison. It actually, you can say it nicely. You can say it spiritually. You could put flowers all around it, make it like a cake and put icing on it, but it still has that "eh." Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, you do too. You know what I'm talking about. You know it's there. And especially when the Lord wants to deal with it, you might notice it coming out a little more. You know, I noticed it Sunday morning in something that I said. And I noticed it while I was talking about this Sunday a little bit about the clerk at the store. I was like, what is that bitterness? What's that that's coming out? So I said, Lord, I just don't know where this is coming from. I don't know why. I've really repented. I really separate the person that hurt me from the spirit behind it. I really want to walk in love. That's my heart. And here's where you need to get to as you mature in the Lord. What do you really, really want? And you really need to be honest. Do you really want vengeance? Or do you really, really want to see that person set free and healed and living for God? What do you really want? What sometimes when you get alone with God, you need to really get serious about what deep in my heart do I really want? What's really deep in my heart? And then whatever doesn't agree with you, recognize that's a spirit that doesn't belong there. That's a lie that doesn't belong there. Quit trying to hide it. Quit pretending it's not there. Quit trying to do something in the flesh to change it. Just give it to God. So I said, God, this I know. This I know. In my heart of hearts, deep down in my heart, I don't want to be critical of anyone. Deep down in my heart, I want to really know and trust that you're going to work good to even those in the body of Christ who are teaching error. I want to believe deep in my heart, God, that I really want to see people of other faiths set free from their bondage and enter into the things of the kingdom of God. I really want to love the way you love. That's what I really want. I mean that with all my heart. So, Lord, I don't know how to get to that in certain little areas. And he's done a lot and he's changed me a lot, but I just want all evil out. So the Holy Spirit says to me, well, you have a spirit of jealousy and bitterness that goes all the way back to when you were a baby. Do you guys understand? You can't, if people say they remember when they were a baby, it's probably more than likely impossible and not true. Some people like to think they're so superior that they can, but there's actual, you know, scientific proof that you can't remember but so much. Sometimes people could say something to you, or you could get an impression later in life and try to take that back to you when you were a baby. But there's going to be at some point in your life, maybe conception, where you can't remember anything. Okay? There could have been turmoil and things going on in your life when you were still in the womb. And that's something you guys need to pray over, that baby, because the spirit of death already got over that baby. And a spirit of fear of abandonment and fear of not being protected and fear of not being safe, right? So you guys together as husband and wife, just get in the presence of God. And let me tell you about talking. There's no formulas, okay? So when I'm preaching and teaching, I'll tell you maybe how I would say it. And I'm going to say it based on the scriptures that I study and the translation that I would use instead of King James or whatever. But God just wants you to say it from your heart, okay? He just wants you to say it from your heart. So don't get in bondage about, you know, formulas. But from your heart, take authority over those assignments. And from your heart, lay hands even on your womb now and speak that the spirit of death and the fear of death and the fear of being murdered are broken off of that baby in the name of Jesus. If you ever had a child and you thought of aborting that child, or you need to break that fear of death and that fear of murder off of that child. If you ever had a child and you were afraid of a miscarriage, you need to break off that fear of a life being cut short. If these things happened in your life, let's say you don't know if they happened, but if you have that fear, then go ahead and do it. What can it hurt? What can it hurt to get in the presence of God and say, you know what, Lord, I have this fear of somebody killing me. I have this fear. I don't understand it. I've seen it. How do you know you've had it since you were very, very, very young, maybe even the womb? Because you think you've had it forever. You know, I've been watching some of this stuff on television with this transgender stuff. And my heart so goes out to these people who from in the womb begin to buy a lie that they weren't made right, that God messed up. How hard would that be? It would not be hard at all for someone who wants a daughter because they already have a son to begin to want a daughter and to begin to speak that they want a daughter and for other people to speak they hope it's a girl. And that get into that baby's soul. And then when here comes this little boy, how do you know it's supposed to be a boy? It has the body parts of a boy. Okay, it's really not a funny thing. It's just a really true thing. God's very clear. He gives a scripture that says everyone who can pee on a wall is a boy. It's in the Bible. I think God uses a little more technical words than that. He uses a word I don't even use. Lord, I don't let my kids use that when they were young, but that's what it says. And if you have a child with a transgender issue, especially a boy who thinks you're a girl, and don't laugh, this stuff is happening to people, especially in our society. It's getting so crazy. It's getting so crazy that Christ is coming soon to stop it all. But it's getting so crazy that you could be marrying someone who was born a woman and has changed to a man and not know it until it's too late. Especially the other way around. You could be marrying, anyway, break the power of any of that happening. But do you know what I mean? If you're even on a date and you find out this person is really, like, you have no intentions of dating a guy because you are a guy. All right, you're a guy. You have no intentions of dating a guy. You go on a date with a guy who tells everybody they're a girl, dresses like a girl, and maybe you're taking hormones and had surgery to be a girl. That's not even fair. It's not even fair. It's really messed up to be in the locker rooms. I mean, the sad thing is, this is very spiritual, and these people don't choose this. They don't choose it. And we as the church are not to condemn them and hate them, but we are to set them free in Jesus' name, and we need to learn how to do that. And we need to take serious, if you are having children or you have grandchildren, how to pray as soon as you know to pray. If you know that you even had a thought that you wished it was a different gender, or your spouse had a thought they wished it was a different gender, then you need to break the power of that over them the minute that you know the gender. And you need to declare over them what God declares over them. You are wonderfully made in the image of God. Because it's spiritual. We are spirit, soul, and body. And if your spirit picks up that you were supposed to be a girl and you were born a boy, and in your spirit you believe that you were supposed to be a girl, and then people start talking about that, like, oh, you really wanted a girl. And then that baby picks that up, oh, they wanted a girl. And then mommy, being cute, takes you and looks through the girl section in the department store and says, ah, oh, I wish I was able to buy pink, but I love you. And that kid picks up, oh, I would make her happy. This stuff is not that hard to even explain, to be honest with you, if you believe God. If you believe that he is God, that he is the creator, that he doesn't make mistakes, and that he's powerful, and that there is an enemy. But if we try to attack people, and we try to humiliate people, and we try to hurt people, look, it is not an easy thing to get free from. And we need to have compassion, and we need to have power, and we need to have the heart of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, the church is going to see these issues in their children in record numbers, because we've been so judgmental, and because we've made such a mockery of something that's so painful and important in the heart of God. So I want us to break the power of that. I just want to break the power of that. We don't want to see this. We don't want to see the enemy hurt our children or our grandchildren. So say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not having your compassion for some of the most hurt people in the world. Forgive me, God, for ever using my mouth or even my thoughts to curse anyone, to mock anyone. I break the power of my judgments and my critical spirit, and I ask for mercy not to reap these things in my own life or the life of my children or my children's children or all our generations. I ask you, Lord God, to release your angels to cancel these assignments. And I give you praise for your faithfulness and for your forgiveness and your great mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. There are spiritual laws that say the things that you judged will come back at you. As the Lord was showing me some of these things as I was praying, he told me about, he said, as a little girl, when I was born, it was very quickly that you had a younger sister and a brother. I mean, we're just like a couple years apart. Some of us just 1 year apart. There's five of us. And the Lord began to show me, no one can be in a family situation, really, and have siblings and not get some jealousy. And so we need to ask God to heal that. We've done this on some of the teaching. But you need to realize in God, there's enough room on God, Heavenly Father's lap, for everybody. God is able to be everywhere at every moment. So no one is ever left out. No one is ever alone. No one ever is neglected by God. But natural parents, that's not always the truth. So we need to let God heal that. We need to let God heal that. We have a teaching about getting free from the orphan spirit. I really encourage you to get that if you haven't heard that. It's a very powerful teaching on that. But the Lord just gave me this, in my, you know, spirit mind, he just gave me this healing for everyone against jealousy. Now, you might have been the kid that got the favor. You could have been like Joseph, who mom and dad gave the special coat to. See, Joseph was favored in the Bible in Genesis. Joseph was favored not because of anything he did. Not because of how he looked, nothing. He was favored because his father so wanted to have a son with his mother. Back then they had more than one wives in the Bible culture, and all that changed after Christ. But he felt like he loved more the woman who could not have children. And she was so upset by all this. And the other wife had all these children. That's all the brothers that Joseph had. And finally, his wife conceived Joseph, and then Joseph's younger brother. You can go read this. It's in Genesis 24, somewhere around there. But here's the thing. Joseph was favored just because his mother couldn't have children for so long that she wanted him so much. Where the other sons, there were many of them. I could get the Bible story, but I'm not going to do that today. You can go read it yourselves. But all these others, the other lady just had a baby a year. A boy, a boy, a boy, a boy, a boy, which was a great thing. And especially in that culture, in that time, sons were very important in the whole line of your inheritance and what you could have and a blessing from God. And yet this wife he loved, and you can just, without having to go there, you could pretty much pick up how the wife of Jacob, you could just feel the tension between Rachel and Leah. And you could just see the husband like, oh, I really wish that Rachel would also have a child, so this jealousy and this bitterness between these two women could be put to rest. Do you see what I'm saying? So you sometimes, Bible stories are real. They're real life situations, but sometimes you have to really yield to the Holy Spirit to see all the dynamics and all the dysfunction and all the things that they're really put there to teach us. These are real people. And so you, not that I ever even want to imagine, because I never want to imagine my husband having another wife and having children with her. Thank you, God, I don't have to imagine that. But you've got the same kind of situations in America with people having, not marrying, but having girlfriends, and one father having two or three women with different children. And don't think this doesn't go on. It does too go on. In the Philippines, as we have a lot of people in the Philippines who watch this and they all listen to our teaching, yay, we love you guys. But in the Philippines, they have this thing called the first family. And if you're not the first family, then if your father doesn't, claim you, then you never have hardly any rights in the Philippines, and you are treated different than everyone else. And it's like a real shame. And we prayed in the Philippines. We went the one time that one woman was so demonized with anger and hatred, and loved the Lord, preached, was an evangelist, but the Holy Spirit put her with us for a week of ministry, and I could pick up that hurt in her. She was giving her testimony. I could just pick up there was a lot of hurt and bitterness in her and jealousy, and it had led to this spirit of anger and hate, and other things that happened. Powerful testimony this woman had. But we really took out a really big demon. It was amazing. It was the real deal, like you see in the Bible. But she so changed. But she, her father, she was from the second family. So her father would never claim her. So she couldn't go to school. Just so many things that stopped. And she had so much hurt. And she was so jealous of this other family and these sisters and brothers that she had from this other family, that he had with this other wife. And it's pretty small there. A lot of people live close by, so you know all these things. So you just never know, even in different cultures, how big this stuff is. But in America, it's really crazy now with stepmothers and stepsisters and stepbrothers. So do you understand? It's just set up. But even if you just have a mother and a father and they stay together, and another child comes along, it changes everything. And then you have second marriages and all this kind of stuff. See, we can't remember how we reacted to that. But more than likely, because we are normal people with fallen flesh and we're not born spirit-filled and just doing powerful godly things, I doubt if you were the three-year-old brother and your sister came along that you said, well, glory to God. Father, forgive me for this jealousy. Take it out of my heart. I want to love this sister who is getting all the attention and all the toys and everybody's paying attention to her and nobody's looking at me. And